Nicholas Wolpe, Chief Executive Officer, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Lovely to speak to you again.
Nice to speak to you. So, is Lily's Leaf closing? Can we afford that?
Well, firstly, we can't afford for Lily's Leaf to close. I mean, in fact, we can't afford for any historical site, museum, theatre, to close, because they are the essence of our society. They are the soul of our society. But coming back specifically to Lily's Leaf, in my press statement, I said Lily's Leaf is closing indefinitely. And indefinitely means it could reopen tomorrow if the money came through. It could reopen next week, or it could reopen at the end of the month, or it could reopen in 6 months or a year's time. So I think we need to move away from this idea that Lily's Leaf is closing permanently, because that would be unacceptable, and we cannot allow that to happen.
So what is likely to happen now?
Well, good question. I really don't know. I mean, you know, there have been a kind of toing and froing between Lily's Leaf and the Department of Arts and Culture. There have been press statements released.
Yeah,
by
I wanted to ask you about those. We'll get there.
You know, the provincial MEC and the minister, and you know what is contained in those press statements are very disturbing and very problematic.
Because one of the comments I saw made was, well, you know, we would fund Lily's Leaf if we knew where the 8.1 million rand or whatever that would be has gone. And that I thought was, it looked to me like a deliberate either obfuscation or diversion seeking approach. But tell me, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, firstly, I would like to say you're absolutely 100% correct. Now, before I go in to talk about the 8.1 million, like I've been saying in all my interviews, it's incredibly important to give some context and background. So in 2015, Lily's Leaf signed an MOU with the department for a project for 9 million. However, in saying that, the understanding was always that that money would not be used for the project, but would be used for operational funding. And it's even been minuted in various trustees meetings. For example, at a trustees meeting of the 5th of June 2015, I announced to the trustees that I was very concerned that we were compelled to sign a MOU for a project funding when this money was clearly for the purposes of operational funding, and they agreed. They said, yes, we must make sure that the department understands that the funding is not for project funding, but for operational funding, and we must ensure, the trustees went on to say, that we cannot allow the department to use this in the future to block us from receiving future funding, which they are currently doing. Now, let me come to the 8.1 million. Lily's Leaf, in 2015, December 2015, submitted a financial report, a narrative, setting out and explaining how that money was dispersed and spent. The department rejected that report and the financial report, both the narrative and the financial report, on the basis they said that it did not speak to the MOU. They then said to me that if I wanted to get the balance of the 900,000, I needed to write a report and present a report that spoke to the MOU, which I said under no circumstances would I do that, because that would be perjury and I would be lying and I would be putting Lily's Leaf and myself in a very precarious and awkward situation. They then said, well, you're not going to get the 900,000. The trustees then said to me, don't get into a scrap over this, leave it, forget about it, which we did. So for 4.5 years, Howard, there was no mention of the of the 8.1 million. The department never came back. Even in 2015, the department never came back to us and sat down and said, please explain to us why this happened. Suddenly now, because it has become an issue and it's just exactly what you said.
It's just incredible. It is, because really, it's, even if you look at that amount of money over that period, I mean, compared to the numbers that we're seeing flying around, it is almost irrelevant. But that aside, does the who has responsibility here in terms of keeping our national monument and one that is so central to the entire anti-apartheid movement, the whole birth of the of our democracy? Lily's Leaf stands at the center of it, and to sort of let it just disappear or to close would be a travesty, really. There's no other word for it.
You're absolutely right. And with regard to your specific questions, who has responsibility, I'd like to say we all have responsibility as a collective, as a nation. There are, you know, but in saying that at the same time, we need to reimagine, reevaluate, and reassess the relationship that exists between government and the sector, you know, independent institutions like Lily's Leaf, other museums, theatres, cultural institutions, and reevaluate how that relationship is defined. What is the role of the department, and how do they assist in creating that enabling environment which ensures that we protect, preserve, and promote the heritage, the art, and the culture of this country? Because I'm sure you would agree, over the last 18 months, as a consequence of COVID, we have seen how fragile this sector is, and we have seen so many things regarding what has happened to this sector, you know, and how people have suffered, how institutions have closed. Lily's Leaf is merely a systematic emblem, for want of a better word, of what we are experiencing. So how the reality is we need to find a way of creating the right environment, which involves both government, and when I say civil society, I would say it's in a broader context. Because one of the things is we need to adopt best practice. And what do I mean by best practice? We need to look at what is happening and how they are dealing with and addressing historical sites and things in other countries. And I would like to use Britain as an example, because in the 1870s, two men set up the National Trust. Then it was given legislative status, but it was not taken over by the government. And today, the National Trust manages and protects and preserves thousands and thousands of historical sites throughout Britain. And they get government funding, and they have 5 million members.
Absolutely. I mean, what about, for example, a Department of Education using some of their allocation? Lily's Leaf should be a place that schools around the country are coming to visit. Surely it should be funded. There are many other areas within government that can be asked to assist there as well and make it part of a curriculum. What about, for example, Mark says there's some very wealthy ANC members today who have done very well, who this is part of their own history. Surely they would look to assist and set up some form of a trust. It's quite incredible that there's almost an unwillingness to find a solution.
Well, I think you're correct. I think that it's holistic, that unwillingness. It is unwilling from the perspective that we have marginalized our history. We have pushed it to the periphery. In many respects, we are not interested in our history. We're not interested in our heritage. We're not interested in our culture. So I don't want to kind of bring it down to individuals or bring it down to specifics in that sense. The important thing is we need to find solutions, best solutions, best practice solutions as to how we can protect, preserve, and ensure that our heritage and our arts and our culture doesn't disappear. And I'd like to, and I'm sure you're going to appreciate this, Martin Niemöller, you know, they came
for me. Of course, yes, absolutely.
And that last part of of that incredible poem where he says, basically, they came
no
to me
left.
And there was no one there
absolutely.
To speak out for me. And the same is here. And I've turned it around and say, you know, sooner or later, there will be nothing to protect, preserve, and cherish. It will become a barren wasteland. And before we know it, there is nothing there.
Absolutely.
And that is the issue, really, to say, now, how do we ensure this does not happen? How do we ensure that we preserve our culture, heritage, and art, and what mechanism and what do we need to do to ensure that we are able to do it effectively, efficiently, so that we are left with the soul of our society?
Absolutely right.